So to start off with, this is such a huge and tangled up event. What is your take on the whole situation?
Well, I think one of the problems that it's really highlighted is that there are still big divisions based on race in American society. It's certainly not a pretty sight. And what is interesting about it from this distance right across the Pacific is that it was a focus of a national white supremacist protest. I mean, the car that ran into those people who were, the driver who did that deliberately and as, an act of direct domestic terrorism, as Trump's national security advisor himself said, came from Ohio. Other people came from California. It became a focal point for Charlottesville for a lot of hate, a lot of anger, and a lot of bigotry. But on the other hand, Trump, I think, controversially but fairly, called out violence on all sides. That you can't actually fight violence with violence. But the way that he called it out, by not actually specifically saying that the white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, the Ku Klux Klanners were the driving force of this ugliness, and that type of racism, that type of hatred, has no place in American society. He didn't say so on the day. He played catch-up by letting his spokesman say it, I think, on Sunday, and overnight he actually came out himself and said what he should have said on Saturday, which was that this type of evil has no place in American or civilized society, and certainly it has no place in what actually is the hometown of the author of the American Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson.
And so I just want to jump as well on Trump's response that you were mentioning a little bit earlier there. Do you think that this shift that he made from just originally saying that there's many sides to this to eventually moving on and actually denouncing the KKK and the neo-Nazis, do you think this is going to have an impact on how the situation is, I guess, resolved?
Well, probably not, because I think there are some issues as well in terms of what the Virginia state government and what the local city mayor decided to do or not do in response to the provocation, in terms of particularly what the police did or actually didn't do. They perhaps could have done more to separate the two sides particularly. The thing that strikes me about it, Tess, is that what the President of the United States does in America is provide moral leadership for the whole community. And that means standing up for the values that Americans, to use Thomas Jefferson's phrase, believe to be self-evident. And that includes tolerance, it includes respect for others, it includes being colorblind and fighting and denouncing racism. And he seems to have a tin ear in relation to those types of fundamental American values, and the fact that he as president is actually supposed to embody and defend them. And he failed to do that at the time it counted. And one of the big debates in the states at the moment, in the aftermath of Charlottesville, is whether Donald Trump has undermined his own moral authority as president. And that's, I think that's a big issue, because essentially people in his administration, like H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, called out for what it was. Republican congressional leaders and senators certainly called out for what it was, but Donald Trump seemed to be unresponsive and a bit slow to realise the gravity of his, I think, error of judgment in not calling it for what it was at the time, as opposed to a couple of days later.
And now, regrettably, these sorts of situations, these scenes that we have seen the likes of, which come out of Charlottesville over the weekend, we seem to be seeing them a lot more. They seem to be getting a little bit more common. How should the administration look to deal with one of these situations should another happen in the future?
Well, it's a bit hard for the administration to deal with it on the ground, because that's basically a state and local responsibility. But effectively, I think it comes down to the tone that the administration strikes. I remember, it was playing on Twitter quite heavily yesterday. Ronald Reagan in 1981 spoke to the National Association for the Advancement of Coloured People, which is the big black leading lobby group in the US. And he denounced racism in no uncertain terms, very clearly, very, very strongly and very powerfully. And in a sense, I think Donald Trump must have seen the Twitter feed of that, because what he actually said overnight was actually very similar to Reagan. But the thing is, Reagan knew it instinctively, whereas Donald Trump had to be brought to it. And I think Americans and the world at large need to have confidence that the United States administration stands for the right values in our society. And while you could say that effectively the protesters on the white supremacist side were representative of the type of people who feel alienated by the political system and the economy in the United States, and therefore likely to be the type of people that would have voted for Trump. It still comes down to the fact that America as an ideal is founded on a set of values that those people were trashing big time. If that residual racism is still a strong force in the South, it has to be dealt with. But it can't be dealt with by force, but it can be dealt with by moral leadership, showing what the right things to believe in actually are, and actually showing that you, as President of the United States, are fully committed to them.
And just quickly before I do let you go, Terry, do you see this as perhaps being just another rally gone bad, or do you think we've actually reached a tipping point with this situation?
Look, I think it is a rally gone bad, Chris. I'd like to think that the days of torchlight parades and men in sheets are long gone, except for flare-ups like what's happened over the weekend in Charlottesville. And I think America as a nation is greater than that. But really, I think it's important, though, that we also understand that in the South of America, there is still a lot of agonizing over their history, over the period of the Civil War, over the legacy of slavery, and that there is no right and wrong answer about all this. I mean, all this started in relation to the removal of a statue of General Robert E. Lee, the Confederate leader in the Civil War, and some in the South would say, well, look, he's a symbol of our struggle, our history, fact that thousands of Southerners died for the Confederacy. Others would say that he's a symbol of Southern order, slavery, and he was a slave owner himself. So when people are fighting over symbolism of that sort, you can see why these things get out of hand, and that why extremists actually take advantage of them.